the little baggage," growled the Count. And he wondered what she wanted, what she was hoping for. She was a virtuous girl. She was said to have no friend, no protector of any sort. That angel from the north must be very artful. Raoul, behind the curtain of his hands that veiled his boyish tears, thought only of the letter which he received on his return to Paris, where Christine, fleeing from Perrault like a thief in the night, had arrived before him. "My dear little playfellow, you must have the courage not to see me again, not to speak of me again. If you love me just a little, do this for me who will never forget you, my dear Raoul. My life depends upon it. Your life depends upon it. Your little Christine." Thunders of applause. Carlotta made her entrance. "I wish I could but know who was he that addressed me, if he was noble, or at least what his name is." When Margarita had finished singing the ballad of the King of Thule, she was loudly cheered, and again when she came to the end of the jewel song. "Oh, the joy of past, compare these jewels bright to wear." Thenceforth, certain of herself, certain of her friends in the house, certain of her voice and her success, fearing nothing, Carlotta flung herself into her part without restraint of modesty. She was no longer Margarita, she was Carmen. She was applauded all the more, and her debut with Faust seemed about to bring her a new success, when suddenly a terrible thing happened. Faust had knelt on one knee. "Let me gaze on the form below me, while from yonder ether blue look how the star of eve, bright and tender, lingers o'er me, to love thy beauty too." And Margarita replied, "Oh, how strange! Like a spell does the evening bind me, and a deep languid charm I feel without alarm, with its melody unwind me, and all my heart subdue." At that moment, at that identical moment, the terrible thing happened. Carlotta croaked like a toad.
Quack!
There was consternation on Carlotta's face and consternation on the faces of all the audience. The two managers in their box could not suppress an exclamation of horror. Everyone felt that the thing was not natural, that there was witchcraft behind it. That toad smelt of brimstone. Poor, wretched, despairing, crushed Carlotta. The uproar in the house was indescribable. If the thing had happened to anyone but Carlotta, she would have been hooted. But everybody knew how perfect an instrument her voice was, and there was no display of anger, but only of horror and dismay, the sort of dismay which men would have felt if they had witnessed the catastrophe that broke the arms of the Venus de Milo. And even then they would have seen and understood. But here that toad was incomprehensible. So much so that after some seconds spent in asking herself if she had really heard that note, that sound, that infernal noise issue from her throat, she tried to persuade herself that it was not so, that she was the victim of an illusion of the ear, and not of an act of treachery on the part of her voice.